fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Jerry Moore here, our second hour on Thursday, the 10th of August. The perfect tip today is to get in a good inventory of reusable canning lids. If you're not a canner, you may not know that the regular canning lids can be used once. They can't be used twice. The reusable canning lids have been around for 20-plus years. I've got a good stock of hundreds of them myself. Talk about a good barter item. The canning jars will last for decades if properly taken care of. The rings that hold down the lids will last for decades if properly taken care of. The lids, however, they're a one-time deal, the regular canning lids. So you want something you can use yourself, something that's a great barter item, then you need to look into the reusable canning lids. We'll have open lines here at Republic Broadcasting. The call number is 512-248-8252. I finished reading the article by the college professor lamenting that his students have never read anything of any consequence. His new students coming into the university. And of course they haven't. And he just laments that they haven't. He doesn't, at least in the article I read, doesn't recognize why they haven't read. And the reason is because they can't read anything of consequence. They can't. Even if they want to, they can't. Our society, to thrive and move forward, has to have literate adult men and women. That's not optional. We have to. There's no... It cannot be disputed or argued with. It simply can't be. Not with anybody with any sense, anyway. It's been 20 years. I realized how blessed I am to have had the education that I've had. And looks like we got a caller here. We got Jim from Harbor Springs, Michigan. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, John. How are you doing, sir?
Really good. What's in your mind, sir?
Well, I guess a couple of things. You're talking about education, and I was listening to Alex Jones' program a day or so ago, and he was talking to a black pastor who from South Africa, who has ministries all over the United States and the world, interesting man, but he was talking about the atrocities that are happening in South Africa, where the blacks are attacking the white farmers.
Right.
And he got into great detail. And if you're just a normal person, you just get outraged at what they do. But what he was saying, what they were doing, was cutting the eyelids off of the white farmers so they couldn't close their eyes. And they were multi-raping the white
farmers. The male farmers. I saw the same video. Go ahead.
So what they were saying is that they were raping the white farmer's wife in front of him multiple times, and then they would dismember her in front of him before they killed him, and they would take the children and they would boil them in hot water.
Right.
And I was just going, oh, my God.
Right.
This is
The summer of 2001, I was being recruited by Colonel Du Toit, who ran a private security company in South Africa, to be part of his security company. They had contracts with farmers that if the farm came under attack, we would put men with machine guns and helicopters and fly to the rescue of the farmers. And I was, quite frankly, I was ready to go. And then the first week of September, or second week of September 2001, everything changed, and I decided to stay home and protect my family rather than take on that assignment. So I'm intimately aware of what's been going on there for decades. And at one point, I was going to be part of the solution to help protect these farmers. So that video you mentioned is going to be on my website, in the panel titled Insights into Real History, that will be there before the day is over.
Isn't it amazing, John, that the national news, as they call it, speaks nothing about the atrocities happening to white people over there? But you know what? I kind of look at what's going on in our country, and they are trying to turn the blacks against the whites again here. And
well, I know a bit more about South Africa than other folks. Now, you may not know this, Jim, but during apartheid, South Africa had a fence, a border fence. Do you know what the purpose of that border fence was, Jim?
I have no idea, sir. Please tell me.
You're about to find out. It was to keep black people out of South Africa. That's what the fence was. They had no trouble. The black people who lived in South Africa, they didn't want to go anywhere else. If they did, they could leave, take it easy, we'll see you later. The fence on South Africa had on their border was to keep black people out of South Africa. The reason being, South Africa was the best place for a black man or black woman to be on the entire continent in terms of economic opportunity, educational opportunity, housing availability. It was the best place to be, which is why they had a fence to keep black people out of South Africa, Jim.
I did not know that, John. But
well, you're not supposed to know it.
At all.
You're not supposed to know it. That's why you don't know it.
A very good friend of mine,
a liberal white lawyer. He says, "John, you can't talk about it." I said, "Of course I could talk about it. That's reality."
Are you familiar with Ted Brower?
Ted Brower's been at my kitchen table twice. I've been his house guest.
Okay.
Of course I know,
too. Well, what he was telling me, too, that the average IQ of a Somalian, and I don't know about Africans, total was maybe 60. They're untrainable because as they come into the EU illegally or illegally.
Well, it's not just Somalia. It's Pakistan's just as bad, if not worse, where the average IQ is 60 or 70. You know, if the average is 60, that means you have as many people with a 40 IQ as you do with an 80 IQ. That's what that means. Seriously.
And if I can mention it, too, I've done a little bit of research into this, and what I understood when we had segregation here in the United States, I've done a lot of educational research in my life, but when we had segregation, there was some black communities around the whole United States. And a lot of people don't know this. There was more in the late 1800s, early 1900s, there were more black millionaires than white millionaires because they formed their own towns, they had their own positions, right, their own schools and everything. You had 80% literacy in the black community at that
time. Well, here's what desegregation did to the black community. The high IQ black men and women who would be the natural leaders of the community that would bring the community up, they left the black community. And that's largely responsible for what's been going on now for decades, is your high IQ, well-educated black men and women have left the black community, leaving behind lower IQ, less productive men and women in squalor, basically. Now, the same, you could do that with any community. If you did it with a white community, if you took the high IQ white men and women who are the most productive, best educated people out of the white community, what's left? The lower IQ, less productive white people, and it's going to wreck your community, isn't it?
Absolutely. And what I have seen, too, when they brought in, I don't know if you're familiar with outcome-based education, which really totally ruined the educational system, and right, that was under George Bush Sr., and they used the old Hegelian dialectic where they go, we have a problem, and now we have a solution. And I had worked with Charlotte Isabee for many years, and she's the one who exposed the fact that the dumbing down of America. And what Charlotte told me was the fact that, you know, they put this outcome-based education, which it didn't require anybody to read. If phonics were out the window.
Right.
They went into
they got the degree school that they wanted, didn't they?
They did, and what it was, they started with the black community, and they also, with the poor white communities, they injected that. And what there was a committee set aside to find out how effective, using the empirical data, how effective outcome-based education to change our whole educational system was going to work. And the people on that committee said, no, it's got a few good things, but we don't see it replicated anywhere because it's not going to work. And what did George Bush Sr. do? He put it everywhere.
Right.
So Republican, Democrat, as far as I'm concerned, John, I can look at who's dumbed down the black people, who's dumbed down the white people, or Hispanic. Government is the problem. Government is wherever we're at right
it
now.
Is.
Government
it is. Is. As I said earlier, Jim, yeah, we took an educational system in the 1930s that was working perfectly, and we broke it, didn't we?
We surely did. We had the Council of Ten, which was the end of the 1800s, and it was a group of people, Carnegie and everybody else, and they set up the factory model. The bell model, where you had bells going off every time, but we had Carnegie units, is what they used to call it. We had math, science, you know, the whole shot, and it would work perfectly. We created the most brilliant minds in the whole world, and that was again called the factory model, and then they turned it all around. And to be the stupid model, because everything you're doing in school now doesn't make any sense whatsoever. They're dumbing down our children. They have been doing it for years. But I guess the one thing, John, government is the problem. And until we get the government to get off our backs, but see, I don't think it's going to happen because people have no idea what's going on. They control the media. With the Bill Clinton and Communications Act that allowed multi corporations to buy up all the media, so now we're completely controlled by maybe, what, six families in the whole United States as far as media
right.
and everything.
Right.
So
right.
we're not, nobody's getting the truth, and I feel bad for people because I run to people every day, and they look at me like, you know, deer in the headlights, and they're going, what are you talking about? And I just go, you have no idea. They have no idea.
No, no. There's a saying.
So anyways.
Right. A saying that would apply in this case here, Jim. Listen carefully. Those who are unaware of being unaware.
Very well put, John.
I can't take credit for
anyways,
that. It was a St. Louis author. Yeah. Okay, well, thanks
right,
for the call,
well,
Jim. We appreciate it. Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye, John.
Our next caller is JP in Chicago. Good morning, JP.
Good morning, John. Good topics today. I'd like to discuss the Chicago Public Schools, if you'd like to.
Please.
I'd like to hear that.
Please.
Yeah.
Where grade school kids can't tell the difference between colors. And tell us about what you know. Give us an update.
Well, unfortunately, I grew up in that system. And I was born in Inglewood, which is the murder capital of Chicago. It used to be Irish, Polish immigrants. My relatives had to flee that area because it got invaded, the ethnicity changed. But anyways, back to the public schools. When I started, I tested out really high. And, you know, I was a little above average, but compared to the rest of the public school, you know, I was in the top 10 percentile. So I was fortunate enough to get jobs in the office. When I skipped two grades, went into school. And then I became an exchange student. And this is where I noticed that I didn't really notice it until I moved to Germany. When I went to Germany, and this is in the 80s when the Berlin Wall was still up, it was so incredible because they had computers in every room, every classroom had a computer. And this is back when they were really expensive. They had Commodores, right. I think they were. And they had, everything was on time. Like the Chicago, when I had a catch the bus ride and I had rifle team practice in the ROTC, I had to get up at 3 a.m. because the bus was always late, never on time. When I was an exchange student in Germany, it was on time. I mean, I was out in the country, maybe 30 minutes from Munich, and the bus would show up for my school within a minute, and the trains were always on time. And I realized, oh my God, I'm living in hell. When I came back to Chicago, it was like right. night and day. So where I changed, that changed my direction in life, because at that point I got really into computers. I graduated early. I left the state, went off to school, and I met some mentors, and I really got into studying, you know, about metaphysics and things of that nature. But it wasn't, John, until I left. I had to get out of Babylon until I could see. And when I come back here, I notice how everybody has blinders on their eyes, and they're all dumbed down. And it's all been done deliberately, unfortunately. And we can blame Common Core right now. I think Common Core is what they've taken this model, this communist model out of Chicago, they spread it across the whole country with Obama. So that's where we're at today. We got kids that are vaxxed up. They're fluorinated with the water, which also dumbs them down. They're not educated properly on purpose. And then you got all the GMOs. I mean, we're like Kennedy said, RFK, and I'll quote him, not only are kids getting 72 vaxes until, you know, they're 18 years, but they're also swimming in a toxic soup from the day they're born.
Absolutely.
And I agree with everything you're saying, but I think we're past the Rubicon, sir. I really think this country, we got politicians, I call them dinos, Democrat in name only, and rhinos. These are the people, they're one party, and they're, I hate to say it, but that's the source of our problem is D.C. And it's been taken over by communists. That's my theory. What do you think about that, John?
Well, communism is at the root of all these problems. So I've talked to Nyquist about this transition in the 1930s with the beginning of sight reading, the introduction of the Dick and Jane readers. He hasn't looked into it. I haven't either, to determine if communists were behind that or not. We don't know that. What we do know is it served the interest of communists who dumbed down Americans. We do know that was in their interest, you know, whether the communists were really behind it or not. So, JP, you were in high school when you were an exchange student in Germany?
Yeah, back in the 80s. And I got to see East Berlin. That was a very scary experience.
I bet it was. You want to hold on through the break, JP?
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, hold on. We'll be right back.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
For the first time since its inception, RBN is offering a limited opportunity to you, the listener, to join our quest. You will be provided an effective platform on both internet and satellite broadcasting, and also gain the opportunity to both share your creativity with our producers and voice your message with thousands of patriots. Interested? Call 800-724-2719, extension 3, for details.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafin, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty. Whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen, these courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. Illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
As I said to those who joined the government, I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. This hour is sponsored by Liberated Rocket Heaters. It'll be Labor Day in less than a month. Time to get ready for winter. You want the highest quality wood-burning appliance that you get your hands on at a good price. Check out the Liberated Rocket Heaters. We have them in stock ready for immediate shipment at thelibertyman.com. Well, JP, you had an extraordinary experience going through school, didn't you, sir?
Yeah, you know, I don't recommend it to any white boy growing up in a black school. It's not very productive. I mean, I was a minority, and I learned how to fight and play football, though. I mean, I learned how to fight at a really young age. So,
well, football is controlled. Football is combat. Football is a controlled fight, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's nothing like getting hit by... I used to play defense because I like to hit people instead of getting hit, you know? But you were a running back. As a running back, you had to plow into people. And I used to getting in the middle of a fast running back coming right at you, boy. It's like a cannonball.
Yeah, well, that's what I was. I was the 18th fastest young man in the state of Missouri, the second fastest Caucasian. And the coach knew if he needed 2 yards, if he needed that 6 feet, if they hand me the football, I'd knock down that 240-pound man in front of me because I could run so fast and pick up that 6 feet that we needed for the next first down.
Yeah. It's just physics, you know. That's all it is, physics.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Acceleration and
energy is mass times velocity, isn't it?
Correct.
You don't need a whole lot of mass. You got enough velocity.
I'd like to carry this conversation into the university system, if you mind, because I had quite an experience there. So originally, I spent a lot of time out of school working in the private sector and doing my new age stuff, but I went back to college, and I had a hard time getting into UW because my GPA wasn't so high. I think I got a low grade in acting. I was a bad actor. But so they gave me a hard time getting in there, so I went basically did tech school, and I was really successful in tech, got ahead. But then I wanted to get back into university because I still wanted to learn things, get a degree. And right. I went in through the back door. I went in as a student teacher, believe it or not. So they right. wouldn't accept me as a student because I was white, Caucasian, and my grades were like slightly under 4.0. But as a teacher, as a liberal musical teacher, they let me right in. So I taught at the university for a year in the music department, but I learned from inside how they operate, and they literally hire, it's like 40%. The whole student crew there is mostly Asians. It was like 30 to 40% Asians. And I asked them, why so many foreigners here? Well, it's because they pay two times the tuition. That's right. Why. So for years, and this goes back, John, I'm getting old now. This is maybe 20 years ago, but they were letting all these foreigners, educating foreigners, while our students were being disqualified for one bad grade or their color of their skin. And this has been going on for decades now. So the people that are coming out of universities, they're like packaged. They got certain sets. They only learn certain things, like liberal arts, for example. My stepdaughter, she went off to school in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, University of Eau Claire. She went away for 4 years. She came back, guess what? A pink-haired lesbian, okay? She was a little overweight, wasn't that bad. But she came back a lesbian, and she has a degree she can't get a job on, right? So that's what right. the university is teaching these kids today. It's really melting their brains, and it's doing the opposite, I think, of education. They're kind of packaging these degrees so that you can get a job, but a lot of these degrees, by the time you get out, you can't get a job, you know? So it's kind of it's all about money. That's what I've concluded, the university system. Who pays more money gets educated, and the Chinese are paying more money, and they have been for decades. So that's why they're getting ahead. I think at the higher university levels, the Marxists have taken over that area as well, too.
Well, it's a shame, but that's where we are, isn't it?
Yep. So
this was your daughter or your granddaughter that came back? Was a pink haired?
It was a stepdaughter. Harley was her name. Yeah, good. You know, it's a little overweight, a little shy. You know, if she met the right guy, she'd been fine, but. 4 years going off to that boot camp of brainwashing. It's a boot camp of brainwashing. That's how I see it as, because they come out liberal. They all come out liberal, woke. I got a new name for these people. Do-nothing muffins with woke nuts.
Okay. All right.
Anyways, there's no fixing this, John. I think we're kind of beyond fixing it. That's where I'm coming from now. And I think having a community outside of these big blue cities is the most important thing for survival right now. For anybody listening, if you're in a blue city, your days are numbered here, because it ain't going to get better. It's just going to get worse, especially when we have Marxists that have taken over the entire system, including the politics. There's no coming back from this, unless you're a hardcore Marxist, you know, and you like this crap.
Right. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Yeah, the blue cities are toast. There's no sense wasting time and money on them. Just get the hell out of Dodge, right?
Yeah. And that's, honestly, that's what all the intelligent people and the high-end groups are doing. So we got to do
that's
it,
right.
John. We got to get out of these cities.
All right. JP, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Call number is 512-248-8252. We'll be right back.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Mr. Sandman, bring me
dear Liberty Man, my aches and pains are making it hard for me to sleep at night. What's a girl to do? Signed, Sleepless in St. Louis.
Dear Sleepless, I recommend the Energy Cleaner. The Energy Cleaner transmits a healing electrostatic signal to every cell in your body, flushing out toxins, relieving pain, aiding with sleep. The Energy Cleaner is sold exclusively at my website, thelibertyman.com, and Sleepless, there's a bonus. Signed, The Liberty Man.
Thanks to the Energy Cleaner, I'm sleepless no more. And let's just say there's plenty more going on in my bedroom than dreams and snoring. I've got to go. He's at the door.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendovite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendovite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and Extendovite is all natural. Extendovite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendovite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool, and there I'm not forgot to look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on one frosty morning. Look away, look away, look away, Dixie land. Then I wish I was in Dixie, hooray, hooray. In Dixie's land I'll take my stand, live and die in Dixie. Away, away, away down south in Dixie. Away, away, away down south in Dixie.
All right, we're back. My website is thelibertyman.com. There's a lot there. Over 9 gigabytes of information to educate you, inform you, entertain you, make you happy, make you sad, make you angry. Really, a lot there. And I have at my website the notice that we put forth here on this show. I'm going to go right there right now and read that to you so I don't get it wrong. It was March the 7th, 2020. It's an 8-minute clip. It begins at 4 minutes, 27 seconds, goes to 11 minutes, 5 seconds, where I say, my belief, I had no evidence at the time, I now have evidence because I've interviewed people that had inside knowledge, that the vaccines were already in refrigerators waiting to be distributed. And Dr. Horowitz and I were talking about this on this interview, by the way, March 7th, 2020. And he and I agreed that you cannot develop and release a safe and effective vaccine in 9 months or less. It can't be done. And, of course, it wasn't done. it took 6 years to develop the COVID-19 vaccine. That's what it took. This is the worst crime in recorded human history, is what it is. And I was just reading this morning, we have 97 universities and colleges, including Harvard and Rutgers and Johns Hopkins, still mandating vaccines. The evidence is clear and convincing and easy to find that these vaccines hurt and kill people, but they're still mandating it. It's just off the charts crazy. We have a caller and holder. We got Charlie in Florida. Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Mrs. Moore. Listen, I wanted to comment a little bit about some of the things you guys were talking about. You've had some really good callers this morning, really great, and a lot of information. You know, everything that's going on over here in South Africa, you know, it's coming here. I think that's the general tone of my message.
Well,
today.
It's yes and no. It's, you know, there's less than 8% of the South Africa population is white. So the demographics are entirely different, but the plan, the program in general is the same.
Yeah, I have to agree with that because I, you know, the population differences. But the thing on the IQ, there was a guy years ago who was a Nobel Prize winner, and he had come out with a lot of studies, and he came out with a study showing that the inner city blacks in our cities here in the United States, that the IQs were actually going down. It was the only place in the only time in the history of our country where IQs weren't going up, and it was in the inner cities in the black areas, and the IQs were going down.
Well, that was then. Now we have all IQs of whites, blacks, Hispanics going down as well nationwide, not just limited to the inner city. But go ahead.
Yeah, I didn't know that, but I do know that the average. He was saying that the average back then that the average city inner city black the IQ was going down to a 60. Which was the same level as what you guys were talking about. This anything below 60 is considered retarded, you know.
So, well, even a 70 IQ is borderline retarded. So 60 is I don't have those numbers, differences in front of me right now, but a 60 IQ is certainly in the retarded area. But that, remember, Charlie, and you're a pretty bright guy. If your average is 60, that means you have as many men and women with a 40 IQ as you do with an 80, doesn't it?
Yeah, I had never thought about it that way until I heard you say that a minute ago. Yeah, that's absolutely correct.
Well, that's what averages mean.
Yeah.
That's what averages mean.
Yeah, bell curve. Yeah, right.
It's a bell curve. It's a bell curve. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, so, but here's what I'm wanting to talk about. I think that I've been seeing a lot of these little quick videos that people take on their cell phones and stuff on Twitter and places like that where these black kids are beating up on the white kids all the time. And I'm going to be honest with you, if I was, one of the first things my dad taught me when I was a kid was we roughhoused. He taught me how to fight, you know. And I never, you know, had a problem in fights, you know, and going up in school and stuff. And my dad moved around all the time and I was always being challenged. Back in those days, you know, if you were the new kid on the block, somebody wanted to challenge you.
Right.
You know? Right, right. And so I was always having to defend myself. And, you know, I learned how to fight because we moved around so much. And plus my dad taught me, you know, when I was a kid. We roughhoused and wrestled, and he taught me. He was a paratrooper, right?
Right.
So he taught me, you know, how to throw people and everything else. So, but anyway, the bottom line is that I learned how to take care of myself. These kids don't know how to take care of themselves. I've had blacks that have challenged me, you know, and had to fight them. And, you know, I always won. But the thing is that, see, they like to gang up on you, okay? And that's what you got to watch. And that's what they're doing. And they're going to start doing this, I think. What I'm seeing is that I worry about our kids because they're gonna be persecuted against, and that's where it's going. It's starting out there in the schools, in the in the with the kids, and they're going to get used to being picked on, being bullied, being, you know, taken advantage of, and they don't want to take care of themselves. They don't know how to take care of themselves. Most of them come from a single parent family, your mother, you know. And so they, the mother doesn't know how to teach them to fight or take care of themselves. So they don't know. They're going to be at a loss. I would make sure my kids had plenty of training to learn how to fight if I was a woman, single-parent woman. I'd put them in karate or judo or something like that, something where they're boxing, anything where they could learn to fight and take care of themselves. But
yeah, well,
these kids are going to be picked on and picked on and picked on, and that's where I see it. How it's going to happen here in the United States, it's going to get worse. And then the next generation, as they grow up, it's going to be, well, once we're gone, that's when they're going to probably come in and try to take over, you know?
Right, right. Well, my first bodyguard assignment, I was my parents gave me to protect my kid brother, 2 years younger than me, on the schoolyard during recess. The school was about 50% black at the time, and my grandfather was a boxer, and he taught me some basic boxing moves to protect myself. So that was my first bodyguard assignment, was to protect my kid brother on the schoolyard during recess from the young black boys who wanted to attack him.
Yeah, boxing is an excellent skill to teach someone to, because once they learn how to box, they can take care of themselves in a fight usually.
Oh, yeah. Boxers have excellent, excellent physical conditioning.
Yeah, my dad used to, he'd teach me to pick flies with my fingertips. You know that that old thing?
Right.
Yeah, right, right. He told me that, I think it was Jack Dempsey or somebody like that, used to pick them out of the air with their fingertips. And Dad would, he taught me to do that type of stuff too. You know, so yeah. But no,
yeah,
but
I can catch flies. I can just catch flies with my hand. I just grab them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Try it with your fingertips, though. See? Take your index finger and your thumb. That's the way Dad taught me, because you got to be more precise, see?
Right, right. Gotcha.
Yeah, but it's all good. Yeah, it's all good. But that's what we need, is we need kids to learn. Parents need to teach their children to defend themselves and learn how to take care of themselves, because they're going to need it in this world that's coming, I think. I really do.
Well, a heads up for you parents and grandparents. If you have a boy that's growing up, you want that boy to be successful and find a female mate. Women want to be protected by the man. And the man who offers protection as well as love and a safe haven and a good career and so forth, he's going to be more successful in finding an attractive, intelligent mate, isn't he?
Oh, absolutely. Women are nesters. Their biological urge is to build a nest, you know,
right.
and to have children, right? That's their...
And they want a man who can protect that nest.
That's right. They want a man who can protect it and provide for the nest.
And provide.
If that man
has never been in physical combat, he doesn't have a clue, does he?
No. No way. No way. No way. Absolutely not.
Yep. Okay.
All right. Thank you, John. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Charlie. Appreciate the call. Open lines at 512-248-8252. Yeah, that was my first bodyguard assignment. My kid brother was being picked on, and his lunch money taken from him, and so my parents gave me that assignment to protect him, and they put the house on the market about the same time, and we moved to a upper middle class, 95% Jewish neighborhood, which was a culture shock in a good way, a good culture shock. Whenever it was a Jewish holiday, myself and one little girl were the last two in the class because all the Jewish kids were off on their Jewish holiday. Quite an experience. And I accepted a bodyguard assignment in Vietnam. The girls that did house cleaning for us, she was being picked on by these Vietnamese gangbangers for her lunch money. So I escorted her to her bus stop several mornings, and with my M14 or my Thompson submachine gun and my full combat gear, and they took one look at me and left her alone. And after about three or four mornings of that, they just left her alone altogether. She lived right next door to my outfit in Vietnam. Her father was a sergeant in the Vietnamese Army, and her mother invited me to dinner as a thank you for protecting this teenage girl from being harassed by these gangsters who wanted to steal her lunch money. Many bodyguards assignments since then, Ambassador Alan Keyes, Charlton Heston, let's see, a couple of others along the way, and many of, of bodyguard assignments, people you never heard of. Pat Buchanan was one I had. That was a great assignment. Even Jane Fonda, I turned down that assignment at first, and the people wanted to hire me. They said, well, John, there could be collateral damage. This was during the Vietnam War, by the way. It would have been about 1972 or 73. So I agreed to accept the assignment because of the danger of collateral damage to innocent people. The bodyguard assignments were always interesting. There was one supervisor of a superintendent of a school district in St. Louis County. Her job was to fire all the people in the school district who had jobs but never had to show up for work. And she was being threatened, and I was her quote-unquote administrative assistant. I wore a coat and a tie. I wore, carried an attaché case. And, of course, I was armed. Of course I was. And I had the day shift. We had other bodyguard individuals that took care of the overnight details to protect her at night. That was a good assignment also. I met some interesting people. Executive protection is what it's called. One lady, we, in fact, Sam Andrews was part of this. I had to escort her in a couple of court appearances. Her ex-husband was threatening to kill her. And so Sam took over one time when I couldn't make it. I had a conflict, but it was a good assignment. She was a very nice young lady, and we kept her safe. The bodyguard work was always good, and that's how I met Sam, was on another bodyguard assignment, by the way. We got open lines at here at Republic Broadcasting, 512-248-8252. As I've said before, my whole attitude and my demeanor changed in Vietnam doing the job I did there. My typical day after breakfast, because I had a security clearance, I had a secret clearance, which is the equivalent of modern top secret clearance. I was an intelligence analyst, and I had to pick up documents from the CIA, from military intelligence, from the Army Security Agency, a couple of other places, attend the secret briefing at the Tactical Operations Center in Canto, the capital city of the Mekong Delta. And I would walk these streets, and I also had to, once a month, one day a month, carry enough cash to buy a brand new Jaguar, full sticker price, brand new Jaguar sports car. So I'd be walking down these streets of Vietnam alone with my attaché case in my left hand, full of classified documents and cash, my Thompson submachine gun in my right hand, my 1911 45 pistol on my right hip, and an attitude. The attitude being, don't mess with me, you'll get hurt. And that's how I learned to survive the streets of Vietnam, and that's how I learned to become what I became. And it was a good experience. I would do it all over again. I would only wish that I know now what I knew then, what I knew now, what I know now, as a very naive 20-year-old. That experience would have been greatly enhanced if I had the knowledge then that I know now. There are some things I would have done the same, things I would have done differently. I would have spent more time with the guys and gals at the CIA rather than just pick up documents. The times I was there, 5 days a week, I heard and saw things that were very important, to say the least. I ended up meeting by correspondence the former station chief of that station, and we had some correspondence, and I've got his letter in my archives. I would have spent more time with the CIA guys and gals because we were basically looking at and studying the same information and coming to very similar conclusions. Of course, I was in the Tet Offensive 1968, and in January is when the Tet Offensive began, went on for months. And by the second week of September 1967, I knew there was going to be a Tet Offensive in 1968 because I was in military intelligence. And it was common knowledge in military intelligence that the Viet Cong and the North Vietnamese Army was going to hit us and hit us hard with everything they had, beginning the Chinese New Year celebration called Tet, which they've been celebrating for many, many centuries. And the top intelligence people in Saigon working for General Westmoreland said, no, no, no. In fact, General Westmoreland gave his famous light at the end of the tunnel speech before a joint session of Congress in December 1967, just weeks before the Tet Offensive began, where he said the following: the Viet Cong are defeated on the battlefield, they can no longer mount an incredible offensive. Here's our last break this hour. We'll be right back.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
There's a point, 7,000 RPM, where everything fades. The machine becomes weightless, just disappears. And all that's left is a body moving through space and time. 7,000 RPM, that's where you meet it. You feel it coming, creeps up on you close in your ear. ask you a question. The only question that matters. Who are you?
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. Well, I tend to be hopeful for the future. Our country is in dire straits. Lots of issues, huge issues. Things that, for the most part, we as individual citizens can't do anything about. I'm so disappointed President Trump continues to take pride in supporting Operation Warp Speed and the Clot Shot. That's the worst crime in human history taking place right now. I'm so disappointed. We have our last caller this hour. We got John in Texas. Good morning, John.
Good morning. I have studied the lives of prominent communists, and it seems that like Ho Chi Minh, et cetera, and Mao Zedong, and it seems like a lot of a very high number of seem to have grown up in dysfunctional, especially males, grew up in a dysfunctional or even abusive environment. Why does Marxism seem to appear, particularly involving a dysfunctional father? Now, why would somebody that grew up in a dysfunctional family, particularly one where the father is defective, be appealing to someone who grew up in that kind of environment?
Why would they?
Yeah.
I'm not sure I'm qualified to answer that, John. No, that's that's quite a question. We got less than 2 minutes to answer a very complex question here. That's not
right.
Going to happen.
Also, another one is, should sometime be after Korea or sometime between the armistice in Korea and the Gulf of Tonkin incident, should we have instituted mandatory military training for everyone between the ages of 13 and 18?
Here in the United States, you say? Think?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. I don't think that would be necessary. We had the draft at the time, and that took care of our manpower requirements. That wouldn't fly in our culture, our country. No, I don't think so.
Or perhaps, if not service, then at least, well, we had sports, but would we have mandatory participation in some kind of quasi or paramilitary type organizations, or would that seem too fascistic?
Well, it wouldn't fly in our culture. Well, thanks for the call. We got to top our break. We'll be right back.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.